The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Curry with Tucker right with him. Curry launches a three. Puts it in again! Steph Curry from downtown!
2.3 to go. Chris Paul from the backcourt, from midcourt, lets it fly. It's up and off the rim, no good. And this one is over. And for the fifth consecutive year, the Golden State Warriors will go to the Western Conference Finals as the Warriors empty the bench and they win 118 to 113. They eliminate the Houston Rockets 4-2.
You want to give yourself the best chance. And we, you know, fourth seed, we had the first series we won at home, home court advantage. Second, you had to play on the road, which is difficult, you know, so we got to get off to a better start, and you know, we got to give ourselves a best chance and get that number one and number two seed.
Regardless who playing, it ain't no moral victories. You know what I mean? We lost. We got to go to the drawing board. First thing, analyze, you know, myself, what I can get better at. And, you know, we going home. You know, that's what it is.
I knew they were going to be tough. They beat us here without KD a couple months ago. So it's not like, you know, we came in thinking. But a lot of times, you play not to lose instead of playing to win, and that's getting over the hump. You know, they're playing to win. We need to get that mentality, and I think as we go forward, we'll get it.
You know, this was not fun, and I guarantee you, James and Chris and our team is very upset right now. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable, okay? We just have to be better, and I know that we're going to rise to the occasion, and our time's going to come. You know, James is 30 years old. Michael didn't win his first championship till 30. Hakeem didn't win his first championship till 30. I can promise you, we're going to win some championships with James Harden.
Yeah, same old song. Some Game of Thrones to talk about, too. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. Should know the number for that by now, 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. A lot happened this weekend. We'll break down that upcoming series with the Blazers. Oh, sorry about that. That's not what happened.
Oh, there is an upcoming series with the
Just
Blazers.
Not for the Rockets.
Yeah, not for the Rockets.
Yeah, man, I don't really know what's left to say other than, I mean, it's same old story. It's just a different, you know, different chapter. At least it wasn't Elimination James this time.
No.
Because James and Chris Paul played really well.
Oh, Chris Paul played really well once. Let's not
but
act like...
in that game.
Yeah, but
and basically...
For the series, he was still garbage.
You needed him to do that. He did. Yeah. The problem was the rest of the team was not nearly as... they basically canceled out Curry and both those guys and Thompson, and the rest of the team didn't. And the bench was awful. And that was it. And you're gone.
Well, and...
Bye.
The Durant absence not only changed the way Steph and Clay played, which it did, but it also changed the way that Steve Kerr used his bench. 11 guys got minutes in that game. 11 in a series where both teams have been, I mean, basically 7-man rotations tops,
right?
And really 6-man rotations and then a couple minutes here and there for a seventh guy. This was a legitimate team effort out of the Warriors.
It looked like the Warriors before Durant for the most part. All those guys contributed.
Kevon Looney had a big game. Sean Livingston, who had an awful series up to that point, had a huge game. And, you know, Steph, when we talk about guys who show up in the big moment. Steph lost that game after going zero in the first half.
Yeah.
0 points in the first half. In the first game without Kevin Durant, he would have been torched.
But you know what? He had the first half that he had, and the score was tied. And at that point, I was wishing that I had done RJ's bet because it made a ton of sense.
Yep.
I took the points.
I did too.
And I did not have the stones to just take the Warriors' money line. But
my first NBA bet of the entire season.
Yeah. Well, I think it's my third. But
I'm going to finish 1-0 on the season, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm done.
But the reasoning made perfect sense, that if it wound up being close, the Warriors are probably going to win the game. And if the Rockets got them down, then they'd fold up. Well, it was tied at halftime after Curry didn't score a point. At that point, I'm like, man, I should look at the end game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good enough number. So,
well, so Klay Thompson is the real reason why in the first half the Warriors were able to keep it a tie game, because it was his offense. Iguodala played well.
Yeah.
But Klay Thompson was on fire, and he basically kept the Rockets in the game, kept the Warriors in the game. And then in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, it was the Steph Curry show. And it's hard. This is one of those games where if you look at the stat lines, you say, well, I mean, James played pretty well. He shot the ball well enough from three. 35 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 6 turnovers, 4 of them in the last 6-7 minutes of the game. I mean, and some really inopportune times. And it's not all on him. For sure, it's not all on him. Clint Capella looked like garbage again.
Well, and that's the thing. They needed a game out of him. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it. The guy who basically called it out and said, this is what I want, it did nothing in the whole series. If you had told me Gerald Green was going to take 9 shots in the game, I would have said, well, that's not smart.
It's not ideal.
He took more shots in 12 minutes of floor time than P.J. Tucker took in 45 minutes of floor time. That shouldn't happen.
No.
And, of course, he missed almost all of them. What it boils down to, it's what I said all along. And this is not, I'm not saying this in like an I told you so kind of way, but the Warriors are built to win championships. This is a championship. This team is built for the playoffs. The Rockets tried to build their team around guys who have never done it before, and then they just hoped that these guys are going to organically figure out how to do it. And so far, it doesn't look like any of them are going to be able to do it. And the future at this point, it's kind of bleak for the Rockets. I mean, do you think they get better going forward?
No. I think
because they've got 2 contracts.
I think they have 1 more year. If they can get some, and see, the problem is it's so hard to make any deals because they don't have a lot of assets and the stuff that people are going to want. Plus, they have no cap room. So, yeah, I think this is pretty close to what they're going to be. And I think they have 1 more run with this group, and that's it. Because I can't see Chris Paul. I can see Chris Paul being able to do what he did Friday night every now and then, and you're going to need him to do it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's, consistently. Can you expect that? No, because we didn't see it.
I don't think so either.
And so I'm not going to say the door is shut on them, but I think it's closing and they've got their hand in it and they're probably going to get their fingers chopped off. It's kind of how I feel about it. I think they have 1 more year with this particular group. And
well,
they
might have 1 more year to be competitive.
I
don't think that they're a championship team next year. I mean,
not unless this is what
you're hoping, that everybody else falls back because you're not going to be better.
No, I don't think they're going to be better.
So they're hoping that Kevin Durant, I'm sure most Rockets fans are, everybody who's not a Warriors fan is hoping that Durant and Klay Thompson leave, which I don't see happening. I think Durant leaves. I think Klay and Steph stay. And that's the Warriors going forward is basically the team we saw on Friday.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're still hoping that you're going to be better than Portland going forward. Portland, who's got an up arrow next to them and has a young core. Same with Denver, young core. And that's we're not even talking.
Even if you get out of there, you're going to be better than Milwaukee. You're going to be better than
Toronto,
Philadelphia again.
Yeah, I don't know.
That those are all things that, and that's the thing. This has been a pretty good run for them to get close a few times here, but they've also run into just a better team. And can they? I don't know what can be done to get them past the Warriors. They are going to have to hope the rest of the field comes back to them, which might happen. And then, of course, you have to hope for injuries, and that happens too. But I don't think they're going to be a better team. I think they can be close to as good. I don't think that's a championship team, though.
I don't think so either.
I think,
and I we heard Tillman at the beginning, and everybody's heard the quotes by now of, you know, I promise you, we're going to win championships. With James Harden talking about he's 30 and Michael didn't win till 30, Hakeem didn't win till 30. Well, Karl Malone didn't have a championship at 30. Guess what? Charles Barkley didn't have a championship at 30. Guess what? There's just some guys who, and you know what? Maybe it's not fair to say that James is one of those guys, but James, like those guys, played in an era where there was a team that, unless you were just brilliant, you weren't winning. And those guys all played during that Bulls-Jordan era, and they, both those guys had their cracks at them and couldn't do it. And yeah, James has had tons of cracks at this Warriors team, and he can't do it. He cannot do it. And again, Chris Paul's going to make more money in each of the next three seasons than James Harden. And I mean, there's no way you're going to get positive return from that. And that's an unmovable contract. It's unmovable. And I'll be honest. Well, we'll get into this. I know we got to get out of here. We got a lot of stuff to do, and we're going to do Game of Thrones next, but I'll say there, and there's a ton of guys you can point fingers at to blame where the Rockets are right now. I'm going to throw a name out there later on in the show, and I feel like it's worth having a real discussion about this one particular guy.
Let's do this. Let's do another segment of Rockets because I think, I think it's still relevant enough, and there's a couple of questions that I think we need to do, and then we'll do Game of Thrones at 4:30 because I want to leave that a little open too because I'd like to dive into this one a little deeper than we have some of the others. So if that's okay with the people,
it's our show.
Well, I know, but I'm just warning them ahead of time that the spoilers will happen at 4:30 and might go beyond one segment. But and we'll talk about the Rockets losing next segment. And then I'm going to talk about a good kind of losing right now, like losing inches off your waist or wherever you need to with my good friend Laura Alexis from Innovative Lasers of Houston. And Laura, you can help people lose 3 to 11 inches in just 2 weeks' time, right?
We sure can. We have that on guarantee. It comes out to about half a pound to a pound per visit. The results are immediate, and that's what makes it very motivating. And now that summer's here, I mean, 2 weeks flies right by, and, what better way to spend it than at Innovative Lasers of Houston?
Yeah, and if you want to look good in that bathing suit, now's the time to get in there, and you guys have got a great offer for them, right?
Yes, we do. Now, the offer that we have right now is, transformation package typically is $2,400. Right now, we're offering way over half off for $1,000. And what's fascinating about this product is that it's non-invasive. It offers no downtime, no swelling, no bruising, no pain, no heat, no cold. The results are immediate. And, you've experienced it yourself. You know, I mean, you feel no downtime and no pain.
No, it's so easy. I tell people, you basically lie down and they shine a red light on you and that's it, and the weight goes away. And I'll tell you what, the people over there are fantastic. They're going to put you on a program that's tailored to you. And you guys, you have people waiting right now that they can talk to on the phone, right?
Right. It's a free consultation, no obligation whatsoever. The special is a $1,000 transformation package, and we'll even throw in an additional 3 sessions for free. The number to call is area code 281-888-3094. The first 100 callers to call receive a special in addition to the three free sessions.
And you can also log on to InnovativeLasersOfHouston.com and get that free consultation. Find out what they're about. 281-888-3094. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
All right.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Somebody brought up a good point. Was Jordan really 30 when he won his first win? I don't think
I didn't know
right.
That was true, but I took Tillman's word for it.
Aaron, would you check on that, please? All right, so what's your question?
Well, my question is, and obviously, I mean, it's a moot point because he's not going anywhere. But is there any of this blame to go for where, not for the series necessarily, but for the trajectory of the Rockets at this point? Does any of it fall on Daryl Morey? Because he gave Chris Paul this bad contract. He gave Clint Capella that bad contract.
Which at the time, everybody didn't think was a bad contract, though, because he got a lot less money than he was asking for.
I mean, no one else was offering it to him. I mean,
right.
I mean, the reason why he got it.
Yeah, it's funny. J-Mark was just asking the same thing with having to deal with CP3's deal. Is Morey's seat finally getting hot?
I think it should be.
I think he's got one more year.
I mean, he just signed a 5-year extension.
But I think next year, if this team takes a step backwards and you still got those contracts. So how old was he?
So Michael Jordan won his first title in 1991, and he was born in 1963. So if my math is correct, he's 28. Only 28.
Okay. So that's probably true about Dream.
Oh, lying ass.
Because he did start going downhill after those titles.
Pretty rapidly after that.
Yeah. So that may be true about Dream, but okay. So we'll...
So what he's really saying is Michael Jordan had his third title by the time he was 30.
Yeah, that's what he meant. That's what he meant to say.
So basically same guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dream was 31.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll take the average there. How's that? And it still doesn't.
29 and a half.
Okay. That's almost 30. You got to round up now. Okay. He's right.
Well, I mean, if they win a championship, he'll be 30 next year.
The other name that I think we should be questioning here is Mike D'Antoni.
That's the easy one. I guess the way I was looking at it was the one constant through all of this has been James Harden and Daryl Morey. Those two guys, things have changed around them. It's been those two guys. And let's face it, James isn't going anywhere. So if you're the boss, should D'Antoni be on the hot seat? Sure. But is a new coach coming in here really going to make a difference? I mean, sure, if you convince Brad Stevens to come or Greg Popovich, okay. Now I give you a big coaching edge, but who's out there that is going to really improve you as a coach enough to get you over that hump with these guys? I don't think there is one.
Kelvin Sampson?
No.
That's the name that would scare me if they got rid of D'Antoni.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think we've seen D'Antoni's act in the regular season, and we've seen it in the playoffs. And I think that goes hand in hand with what your team is.
Guys who are not
right
playoff winners.
And so what do you do? I mean, what coach do you go get?
That's why I said I don't think there is one. So I think you stick with him. But I do think that Morey should be getting some pressure. And I know everyone thinks he's this genius, but if your goal is to be competitive every year, he's great. And you know what? They are competitive every year. And that's While I crap on the Rockets for being unlikable because I think that they are a cast of unlikable characters and the way that they play basketball is not aesthetically, it's not pleasing to me, I can't deny that they are consistently competitive, which is something that, you know, is to be applauded. It's not easy to do, and there's not a lot of teams in the NBA that have been consistently competitive. It's just when you're consistently competitive, but you're never good enough to win a championship, it just feels kind of empty.
Well, and I'll give you a good example of that. I think the Toronto Raptors are the same thing. So what did they do in the offseason? They fired a coach who got them the best record in the conference last year. They traded away their best player for a guy who they may only have for a year.
Yeah.
And
but you know what? They're all in on it.
Yeah, they're all in. And this year is probably it for them. If they don't win it.
If Kawhi doesn't come back, then yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's going to come back or not. I think I've seen stories that say yes. I've seen stories that say no. There's no way to know. But they knew that going in, that, hey, we're going to have this guy for a year. We need to shake things up. You know, we had the best record. It wasn't good enough. Now, I'm not saying trade James Harden because you really that would be silly because James Harden's a much better player than DeMar DeRozan. But, you know, that's – I think they were kind of in that same boat. And they're also now in the, hey, if this doesn't work out and we lose Kawhi, suddenly we're not that team that's in the – you know, consistently winning close to 60 games and making the playoffs and having a top four seed every year. Which is basically what the Rockets have been. Yeah. The lowest seed they were was what, five?
No, they were an eight seed.
With Harden? Yeah, I guess so, one time. But for the most part, they're in the top four.
Yeah.
Especially the last few seasons. And, you know, but never quite good enough. And I don't think it's all... Sometimes it's as simple as you're playing a better team. And I think that's what it is. In basketball, it's so hard to win a seven-game series against a better team. It's... And that's why we see so few upsets in these things. Because by the end, the best team generally has everything figured out, and they're going to be tough to beat. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And somebody says, D'Antoni makes Harden a $35 million player. Not sure he's the same player outside the D'Antoni system.
He was the same player in the Kevin McHale system.
His numbers went way up, though, when D'Antoni came here.
But the results have remained the same.
Playoff results. They've been a better regular season team, no question. So,
And the problem is, you know, these guys who all of their role players were all here basically on... It's kind of like the Rams last year. They had a bunch of guys who were here through the end of the year.
Yeah.
And now you don't really have the money. I mean, you've got the money to give one of those guys a mid-level exception. So you decide if, and I don't know who they think is worth that at this point, because I don't know, after the playoffs, I don't know who they like. I can't imagine they're going to give that to Kenneth Faried because apparently they don't like him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
They don't like him. So... I don't know what you're doing, but there's nobody that you can add unless Boogie Cousins shows up and says, hey, I'm willing to play for the league minimum because I want to play with you guys, like he did for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Unless that happens or something like that, like Jimmy Butler decides, you know what, which by the way, there's zero chance of this happening. I'm not seeing the money that I want on the open market. So I'm going to come play for you for the mid-level exception. That's not going to happen. But unless it does, you're basically looking at the same roster minus some things and a year older.
Well, what you're hoping is that he goes out and does what he did this year, which is find some Kenneth Farids and Daniel Houses and guys like that who come in next year and do the same thing for you. And they've done a good job of finding guys like that that other teams didn't want. So... I mean, I could see them doing that again, but the bottom line is you're only going to be as good as the guys you're paying. You're going to go as far as Harden, Paul, and Capella can take you. You got to get those pieces around them, and I think they can do that, but you got to get more out of Capella next year. You've got to get more out of Paul, and you got to get more out of D'Antoni.
You're not going to get more out of Paul.
You need to get the same out of Paul. How's that?
I mean,
good luck with that, too.
You know how this thing works, Fred. You've seen it before.
No, I know. This is the same conversation we have every year with the Rockets. I think they have one more year of this kind of group going, and then they're going to have to do something like the Raptors did and take a big chance. Otherwise, that's we're going to be talking about the same thing a year from now. Exactly the same thing.
All right, we're going to do a Game of Thrones on the other side. We'll take some calls on the Rockets in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to make sure we get to that. I know you guys all have some venting to do, so we'll take some of those calls in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up, though, is going to be our Game of Thrones talk, and I got to tell you, there are Game of Thrones content sponsored by Ratchet Hatchet. And, guys, I went out there and I threw axes my kid's birthday. Everyone loved it. We went out there with a group. There was 8 of us, and we spent an hour and a half throwing axes at targets. I mean, I'd never done it before. I had a blast. It was just an awesome time. The kids had fun. You bring your friends, bring your family, bring your own booze. How about that? Come in there with. There were some guys that brought in some hard booze. I'm good with a couple beers here and there, but you want to get wasted, apparently, that's allowed. But it's a party over at Ratchet Hatchet. It's a great time. Set up your company happy hour, a birthday party, just a family bonding trip with Ratchet Hatchet today. It's right off of Waugh in the center of Houston. Really easy to get to. Give them a call. Go out there. Try something new. 713-446-8186. Book your party. You're going to love it, guys. Find out more info at RatchetHatchet.com. That's RatchetHatchet.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Shall we begin?
You're now entering the Game of Thrones spoiler zone on The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and we'll get back to the Rockets. There's plenty still to do there, and like El Jefe asked, is they basically the Phoenix Suns under D'Antoni. Yeah, it's the same, almost the exact same thing.
Same results, too.
Yeah.
I mean, some things never change.
And but this segment...
You can't make a hoe a housewife, they say.
You can, but...
But she's still a hoe. You got a bunch of hoes and you're trying to housewife them. It's not going to go well.
Well...
Hoes.
This segment is all spoilers, guys. So if you haven't watched last night's episode, now's the time to tune out. Ratchet Hatchet sponsors this segment. We appreciate those guys.
Thank you, Ratchet Hatchet. Good place.
All right. You want to start or you want me to start?
You start.
I'll start because I have a lot of opinions on this one.
Okay.
I thought it was by far the best episode of the year. I think it's certainly a top 10 all time. I thought it was fantastic. Okay. And I'm going to give you a lot of reasons why. Because I think there's a lot that people missed in this episode. For one thing, all right, here's my one beef. Because I think the episode made episode 4 a little better for me. Because now looking back on it, it set things up better than I thought it did. But it also made episode 3 even more confusing because... Where the hell did all those Dothraki come from? That was my...
I thought they were all dead.
I knew there were some left.
They said all her people died.
Not the case. I don't know. Did she go to Amazon and just order more Dothraki? But that was the only thing I didn't like about the episode. And I've seen a lot of complaints about some things, and I'm just going to... I'm going to do my best to pee on those because I honestly think that this was one of the better written shows. First off, we had... some really terrific interactions. I was so glad we got one more Jaime and Tyrion.
Yeah.
Those two on screen, those are the two best actors in the entire series. And to have them on screen at the same time was always a good thing. So I was glad we got that. I think the Mountain Hound battle was fantastic. It was everything people could have asked for there.
Kind of felt like a cheap way out at the end, though.
Well, but it was his only way to beat him. And he knew it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't kill this zombie. So... Maybe if he'd had Valyrian steel.
Yeah.
But didn't work out. I thought that was terrific. I thought the way Qyburn got his head bashed was fantastic.
That was kind of cool.
The battle scenes, doing it from the perspective of the people getting burned more so than Dany flying around on her dragon, I thought was incredibly powerful. And the biggest, it's funny, we had a long discussion on Twitter last night after it, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, everybody had different opinions. But the Cersei death was the one that everyone was kind of unhappy with. I think everybody wanted Arya to kill her or
anybody
to kill her. But I thought the way the episode was set up, it was perfect because it was built up to where the walls were slowly closing in on her the whole time. And she just never saw it coming. And even after the fleet is destroyed and she's destroyed all the scorpions, and she's sitting there going, "Oh, well, we killed a dragon. We have a fleet." And Qyburn's like, no, those things are gone. And she's still not realizing that she can't win. Because once Dany went full Mad Queen, it was always going to be over. But I thought, and for people who want to hold to the letter of a prophecy, which, by the way, prophecies are intentionally vague, but he did lead her down there to her death. So if you really have to have every line of a prophecy fulfilled, there you go. But I thought all of that was terrific, but I thought the thing that I found most powerful about this episode was not, and we joke about Dany being a heel turn, but it's more about the decision she has to make, because all along she's been listening to these men who've got two of her dragons killed, and who've gotten all of her troops killed, who got her, they lost the Greyjoy fleet. The sand snakes are dead. All of that because she's listening to these guys. And the only one, and I love that they had old Lady Tyrell telling her, be a dragon, because she was the one saying, you know, take this thing over. So the whole decision comes down to, and especially once the bell rings, do I leave these enemies here who at some point could revolt against me? Or do I fight the war to end all wars, just like we did with the dead? Do I wipe out everybody? And to me, that's a moral question that we face all the time. And even remember that CIA thing I told you I was watching where the guy had to decide, do we blow up a mosque that's got women and children in it to get two very dangerous terrorists? And I kind of think that's the decision she made. Much like at the end of Ender's Game, where the war to end all wars, you're going to end it all right here. Not saying it's right. Now, how she reacts after this, if she's going to continue to just burn everybody to the ground, then that's going to be a problem. But I thought it was fascinating that she had to make those decisions. And when you add all of that up, and the other thing, too, is Arya being part of the seeing the damage from. I mean, I thought that was so cool the way they did it from the perspective of people running from the dragon's flames.
All right. I agreed with your beginning. It was the best episode of the season.
Okay.
The bar was set pretty low.
Lower for you than most people. Let's be honest. You haven't liked any of them. You haven't thought that any of them were any good. Like, I just thought they could have been better.
I can't even fathom this being top 10 all time.
I can.
I think the Dany thing is so confusing because it they just rushed it. Like the beginning of the show was too fast paced. The end of the episode was too slow paced. And
now I'm going to disagree with you. I think they actually got the pacing right on this one for the first time all year. Like, and you know, that's been a big bitch of mine.
How does Dany go from being the character arc on Dany is so weird that all along, I mean, granted, she's been like insecure and stuff like that, but she's always cared about the little people because that's what she was. She was like she was cast aside apparently or whatever and mistreated. So she's always like trying to. She's been tried to be a warrior for the voiceless, basically. And then just randomly, she's like, you know what? My nephew wouldn't put out last night. I'm burning this place down.
Yeah, see, I think that's really dismissing a lot of things from her character's past. She stole the Unsullied by burning a guy up. She stole those guys.
Yeah.
And when she was freeing the slaves, well, think about it, she also burned up all the Dothraki leaders. I mean, she's had this in her, and
all of those people were threats to her.
Well, so was
Cersei. All those women and children.
Well, here's the
difference.
You're
talking about her killing soldiers and things like that. That's different.
But she's going to wipe them all out so that there's no enemies. She's going to end the war right there. I'm not saying it was the right decision, but you could see it coming. She's had
there's definitely been seeds, and she wanted
to do it at the very beginning, and Tyrion talked her out of it. And that's when they were said, let's just go to King's Landing and burn everything down. And he's like, no, you don't want to burn it down. He's the one that talked her out of it. And he's the one that said, trust Varys. And after a while, she's like, screw these guys. I've got a dragon. I've got one left. I'm going to go there and burn it to the ground. Because that's what she wanted to do all along. And to me, it all added up to where I don't trust any of these guys anymore. I especially don't trust Jon either, because he might want my crown. I'm doing it my way. So I like that.
I didn't understand the Varys death scene. I didn't understand what happened that he had to die. Like, I mean, was he saying anything that Tyrion wasn't saying? Other than...
He went to both Tyrion and Jon and tried to get Jon to replace her. That's treason. That's pretty obvious. Now, Tyrion ratting him out.
Why?
Little bit of a surprise there.
Yeah. That bummed me out.
But Tyrion's character, he's gone up and down so much lately, too, and he's had a lot of losses, and I think that was kind of a cover your ass.
Yeah, but then he goes and releases Jaime.
Yes, he's probably dying for that, right? We agree?
I would assume, yeah. That was easily, to me, the best scene in of the episode, the Jaime-Tyrion scene.
Yeah.
The Euron finding Jaime on the beach and, like, deciding we've got a battle right here was super weird to me.
That
like everyone's clinging to survival, and he's like, "Yeah, let's fight." But why? It didn't even make sense. And how Jaime survived that is beyond me. Anyway,
yeah, he should have died there. That part I wasn't as crazy about, but like Ashok saying, he 100% agrees with you. Trash season, trash episode, horrible pacing, bad writing. I got to tell you, the writing in this thing, I don't think you're seeing the whole picture, because the whole thing, it was very much do we drop the second nuclear bomb on Japan? You have to make those decisions. And she made those decisions. And all that's going on with her, all that's going on with Cersei. And, you know, I think it's just kind of become cool to just say, oh, this episode sucked. This whole season sucks. Well, the whole season hasn't been as good. There's no question. But I think everybody's ripping last night's episode. I think you guys just missed a bunch of it. That's all.
The Arya stuff, to me, while... The coolest visual things in the episode were from like around Arya, like while the city was being just destroyed. But she was on screen for maybe 15 minutes and did literally nothing. I mean, it was
she's already had her moment. That's the thing.
Then why show her for 15 minutes?
She could have easily been. I wish she'd ridden off into the sunset at the end and doesn't come back.
Where the hell? Where was that? I mean, that white horse being there. That's the dumbest thing ever, too. Like, oh. Here's a random white...
See, now you're kind of doing what everybody else is. You're really picking at everything now. And I think that's become the problem with the show, is that every little thing now...
Because they set it up to be great, and it's just just good.
And I disagree. I think last night was great, and I think you, like a lot of people, missed some stuff. Like even Tristan said, did you pick up the fact Varys was trying to poison Dany? That's what the little girl was there for. He was mad because she wouldn't eat. So, yeah, he deserved to die for that. You're trying to poison the queen.
And then Arya... I think all that time she spent when we were like, what the hell is she doing at that place, the faces place, the mini faces? And I never understood why she was there for so long. And it basically just felt like a way to pause her storyline.
Yeah.
And now I've been thinking, oh, well, one day they're going to call back to that and she's going to use that training and use somebody else's face or something. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, that is... That's an interesting...
Because they had different ways to use it.
She may still wind up killing Dany as Grey Worm or something.
They had different ways to use it. She could have easily been Jaime last night and been there to made sure that she died with Cersei, just to make sure that Cersei died.
Yeah, and again, I think everybody wanted her to be the one to kill her, but what we've liked about this show all along is it surprises us.
Yeah, but no one and killing
that
her
been,
is...
That would have been particularly... It wasn't no one killing her. It was Dany's dragon tearing the place down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think everybody's being way too...
Who tears down the castle? You're supposed to live in there. All you talk about is that stupid throne. It's in there probably burnt up and broken now.
I'm guessing she's going to take it all back to Dragonstone since it's right across the street.
Well, I thought it was good. I just didn't think it was earth-shaking good. I thought it was good. I mean, it was better than what it's been being. So I'm having a hard time complaining too much because, it could have been episode 4 or episode 3. And... It was better than that. There was at least some really cool visual stuff. And by the way, those dragons never run out of gas?
Well, that's one thing. Drogon certainly never did.
My goodness. Dude's got to have the worst heartburn right now.
he's probably going to go drink half the ocean when this is over with. But a lot of people speculating that the White Horse was actually Bran warging into the horse. But I don't know that I buy that because what does Bran do? No,
he does nothing. He sits in the chair and passes out. Yeah,
occasionally, he tries to sound like he's.
In a while.
And again, I go back to I think some of the things from this made the episode 4 better, but some of them also made episode 3 even more confusing because they basically set it up like all the Dothraki are dead. And so I was a little disappointed in that. But overall, I thought this was a really well-done episode. And I just think it's become the cool thing to pick apart everything. That's all.
What I will say is, we'll hit a break. We'll finish talking about this on the other side. I got to tell you about Triangle Energy. Not only is Triangle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, which they are, they're giving Houstonians the power to win free electricity for an entire year. Here's what you do. Sign up for any power to win electricity plan. They're going to give you 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 t-shirts, and you're going to automatically be enrolled to win free electricity for an entire year. Who doesn't like that? Free electricity for a year? Save that dough, bro. Every time the Dynamo win a home game, and I don't know what their record at home is, I know it's pretty damn good. They're not losing a lot of games at home. So you're winning doing this. Triangle Energy is going to draw a lucky fan or customer, and they're going to win a year of free electricity just like that. And the rates are great to begin with. Even if you don't win, you're getting better rates. You can enter to win by texting the word POWER to 77177, or you can visit TriangleEnergy.com to learn more. That's the word POWER. Text it to 77177 or go to TriangleEnergy.com to learn more. PUCT license number 10064 for Triangle Energy.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. There's too many texts to get to, but so he says, Fred turning into John Kerry with all his flip-flopping on Game of Thrones. Well, if you consider that flip-flopping...
I mean, you can like an episode and not like
the next exactly.
One.
The dumb thing is to form an opinion and then not change it at all because one episode winds up being better than the rest. You say, oh, it sucks. That's dumb. I'm never going to be that. It's just like a game. I'm going to take each game one at a time. And then I'm going to judge the whole series when it's over. So, yeah, that Jamie's hand is the latest thing. It's the new Starbucks. Apparently, yeah
I could barely tell.
But man, who's watching that close?
Everybody. Welcome to what I mean.
I couldn't see it at all.
Welcome to 2019.
So, yeah, and now I think what's interesting is, what I would consider a satisfying ending is now that Danny's gone nuts, that she decides, okay, we're gonna rule the people the right way and becomes a good leader, and John goes off to start a new Night's Watch.
How was this dragon not able to just do this last week, or was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week. Why didn't this dragon just destroy everything then?
Well,
and how come these scorpions were so accurate and now all of a sudden they're not?
Well, because this time she came out of the sun so they couldn't see the dragon. She ambushed them to take out the ships. And from behind, which I said should have been done last week. Nobody listened.
But she was ducking and dodging.
She was, but there weren't as many because she was taking them all out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't see her, which I still think, and we'll go back to the last episode, that the ease with which they killed that dragon, that was dumb.
It really was.
That was. But I also think that, this was her saying, I'm doing this. I'm not listening to Tyrion or Varys or anybody else now. I'm going to be a dragon. And that's why I thought that quote set it up nicely. And I thought there were a lot of callbacks to earlier episodes. And I find that really good. I find that to be good writing. I find it to be interesting writing. It's not for everybody. I get it. So, but yeah, and I do think the whole Jamie Euron thing didn't need to happen.
Like, Euron didn't fall off that ship in the middle of the ocean and then swim all the way back wearing boots and carrying a sword and then just walk up on land ready for a sword fight. That's not realistic at all.
Well, remember,
but there's dragons, so well, what has to be realistic?
They're on Blackwater Bay, which is the same place they had the battle right there next to King's Landing. He wasn't still that far out.
I mean, if you're far enough out to have that big ass ship floating around, then it ain't an easy swim. I don't care who you are. Could you, like, he's Michael Phelps now?
Maybe so.
You could tell that dude's not in shape. That guy definitely drinks a bunch of beer. He's not. He ain't in good enough shape to swim that. That dude probably swam. Let's just say he swam half a mile. Let's be generous. Let's say those ships were out a half a mile. You ain't swimming a half a mile in boots with a sword and then getting to land and be like, well, you know what? I don't need to rest. Let's fight right now, bro.
Let's back up a little bit. We're assuming he swam. We're not assuming that he found some driftwood and drifted in.
I mean,
there was a lot of driftwood running around out there.
Okay. Well, that driftwood didn't take him in that slowly.
These are details that I think they edited out that they shouldn't have.
If the rumor that I heard was true that they were offered 10 episodes this season and they said, no, we only need 6, that really peeves me.
Now you could say that.
Okay.
Because you're pissing
me off.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would. The whole thing with this show the last couple of years is it's either drawn out waste of time or everything's crammed and rushed. That's what's frustrated me the last last two or three seasons now, is they can't find a middle ground, or they're either wasting time or they're not explaining things, and both are bad.
I don't think it's that they're not explaining things. I think there's a lot of stuff that they're doing very fast that you're missing. Like, I think a lot of people miss the fact that Varys was trying to poison Danny.
I get that. I'm talking about, like, the Danny turning mad. Are we saying that... I get that there were seeds planted back in the day, like, burning that dude alive for killing Drogo. She's had a ruthless side to her, but... I mean, why then? Because she was like the battle was too easy to win, or John didn't give it to her last night.
Yeah, see, again, I think you're...
Missandei really...
I think you're oversimplifying the whole character arc, because she's been wanting to do that from the very beginning, and she got tired of trusting these guys because they've led her astray every time. And, I mean, I don't think this was just a big heel turn. I think this was just her coming out. And I think we may see that next week. She may decide to keep burning people. And if that's the case,
well,
you got an interesting episode.
I think we're down to... And it was weird that there was zero Sansa in that episode. Because, I mean, she's amongst the favorites now to sit on the throne at the end. And
I would think, yeah.
Zero presence in the penultimate episode is odd.
But again, though, they've done that all along. They've taken storylines that... And obviously, she'll be a big part of the next one.
Right. Because
her story has to be told there. But, yeah, I have no problem with her not being in it.
So, we are down now to, logically, what can happen. Who can be on the throne at the end of next episode? Are we down to 3?
Yeah, I think it's a 3-horse exacta box at this point.
It's Jon, Sansa, or Daenerys?
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed.
I think there's no way it's going to be...
No one else makes any sense. And if you tweet me Gendry, I will stab you with a spoon. Absurd at this point. If Gendry is on the Iron Throne at the end, this whole show is the stupidest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, that would be worse than the Sons of Anarchy.
It would be worse.
And I think that I'm withholding judgment on the whole thing until I see how it ends. I see 3 or 4 possibilities that I think would be good endings, but I see 5 or 6 that would really suck.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different possibilities now. So
in a perfect world, I think. My perfect ending would be Danny. Okay, now that she's got the throne, she's not crazy bitch, and starts mending fences, and then John goes off and lives in the north with his wildlings.
My better ending, I think, would be John killing Danny.
And I think that's probably the clubhouse favorite right now.
I mean, I think that's like, because if now what we're representing and what's been represented this entire series is that John is good and honorable
and dumb.
And, well, that too.
He's dumb.
But he is like, he has a code. In a world where it seems like no one else really has a code, John has always had a code, and he's always been like, if there's a John heel turn, I don't even know what to tell you about this show. But it seems like we're now looking at John seeing what happened or what could happen if he doesn't take the lead, and him knowing that that's the only way to end it.
Yeah, I think he would probably have to kill her, and Sansa would have to be queen.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
That seems to be the most likely scenario. I hope that's not it. I hope they surprise us.
And then Jon, after he does that, he's going to go to the Love Street Music Fest,
which is where he should be going.
Yeah, next Sunday, because after the episode, he won't be busy. May 19th, it's going to be going off, so he can go before at 1 p.m., and then he can go home for a little while and go back and finish it up. It runs till 10 p.m. The 2019 lineup, Walk the Moon, Bishop Briggs, Toadies, Lovely the Band, Wrestlers, Slender Bodies, Vody. It's going to be a great time filled with the sweet sounds of live music from local and national artists and the cold refreshment of Carbach beer. And the restaurant, so good. If you haven't been out there, you got to stop by. I know they had a hell of a crowd out there for Mother's Day brunch. They do brunch Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2. The restaurant's open 7 days a week from 11 to 9, lunch and dinner. The food is out of this world, and everything on the menu pairs perfectly with one of the beers on the wall. Do yourself a favor and follow Carbach on your social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You'll see what's going on at the brewery, what's going on with the concerts, what's going on at the restaurant. It's a catch-all for what they've got going on out there. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share?